The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, November 10th, 2014. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 24th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. And plus, we try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included The Independent ran a story on the launch by Shakespeare's Globe of GlobePlayer.tv, a pay-per-view video streaming service that allows you to watch the productions of Shakespeare's Globe on your computer. Before, you had to go to London or hope to catch a cinema screening or wait for the irregular DVD release. This is so cool, especially given how much I've enjoyed their productions of As You Like It and Taming of the Shrew. I can barely contain myself. The University of Delaware's website ran a story on the presentation of Shakespeare Restored, an evening of Shakespearean scenes paired with adaptations written during the Restoration, like the happy ending of King Lear. This took place last week at the Newark, Delaware campus. The documentary Muse of Fire, which follows two friends on a worldwide journey to find out all they can about playing the works of the Bard, has been finally released. It's on iTunes and Vimeo, and I really need to check this one out. The University of Colorado's website covered the announcement by Colorado Shakespeare Festival of their 2015 lineup, including Othello, Much Ado About Nothing, and Henry V. The August Free Press ran a story on the new web-based app from the American Shakespeare Center that answers the age-old question, what's your Shakespearean personality? I'm Horatio. Great. Stuck holding a dead friend at the end! The app is a lot of fun, and also creates an itinerary for your character in the ASC local town of Staunton, Virginia. The Van Courier ran a story on the twin sister directors of a production of Hamlet by Black Spear Productions, with more female characters, read Hamlet, Princess of Denmark, and a Hollywood-like setting. Kaylee and Sam Spear hope to recharge the offstage tragedy in Vancouver, British Columbia. The Folger Library's education blog posted a story on how to teach Shakespeare through the recording of radio plays, complete with technical advice. The Telegraph ran a story on Dame Judi Dench discussing the fear and prejudice of Shakespeare caused by bad teaching. The Telegraph ran an op-ed which went further than Dame Dench and said Shakespeare should be done away with on the stage altogether because it's too old. Look, I'm not much for cursing in this podcast. I usually save that for the normal Bill Shakespeare podcast. So I'll just say that this writer is knucking futs. Just a dumb idea trying to get readers to hit her page, methinks. AmericanTheater.com ran a piece highlighting 9 recent magical productions of The Tempest, including the great South Coast Repertory one I cut a couple of months back. Ithaca.com ran a story on the upcoming all-female production of Julius Caesar with an interview of its director, Amina Omari. The Ithaca Shakespeare Company production runs in Ithaca, New York, through the weekend. The San Diego Union-Times ran a story on the Old Globe Theater's Globe for All mobile unit, bringing the Bard to underserved audiences, including the homeless. The Connecticut Post ran a story covering the two competing plans to resuscitate the closed American Shakespeare Festival Theater in Stratford, Connecticut, one by the Elm Street Theater Company, the other by Stratford Stage Group. The St. George News ran a story on the efforts of the Utah Shakespeare Festival to assist the Iron County Care and Share Food Bank. Not only are the artists physically assisting, but they are also putting on a benefit concert. WhatOnStage.com ran a story discussing not only the new Globe TV site, but also plans to bring another female Hamlet, Maxine Peake's Manchester Royal Exchanges production, to movie houses next spring. Currently, only UK cinemas are involved. NPR ran a story on the new book Digging for Richard III, The Search for the Lost King, by archaeologist and journalist Mike Pitt, which once again debunks much of the anti-Richard propaganda found in Shakespeare. The Chicago Daily Herald ran a story on the National Arts and Humanities Youth Program Award, going to Chicago Shakespeare Theater in a White House ceremony Monday, headed by First Lady Michelle Obama. The Washington Post reviewed As You Like It by Landsberg Theater, and let's just say that they didn't like it and leave it at that. Meanwhile, Broadway World also reviewed the production, calling it brilliant, but strangely melancholy and definitely not for the uninitiated Shakespeare viewer. Broadway World also reviewed King Lear, the touring production by Shakespeare's Globe, saying that the Santa Monica, California stop does the Bard proud. And you'll get my take on this in a couple of weeks when I take it in Santa Barbara. The Denver Post reviewed Hamlet by Betsy Stage, saying that this gypsy camp set version with a female lead both haunts and delights. The Bromsgrove Standard reviewed Macbeth by the Festival Players, saying that the all-male production produced in the historic St. John's Church in Bromsgrove, England, is amazing and fantastic. Then we have a whole slew of reviews for the Folgers presentation of Julius Caesar. The Washington Post reviewed it and called the DC production haunted, funereal, and eternal. Washington Life called it a provocative retelling. The website Brightest Young Things said that its borrowed horror imagery makes it feel like nothing less than a dire warning. And the Washington City paper called it a hungry new cut of the play. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On November the 4th, 1787, the famed English Shakespearean actor Edmund Kean was born in London. He would die 46 years later. On November the 5th, 1605, the gunpowder plot to blow up Parliament, assassinate King James, and restore Catholic rule to England was discovered, and conspirator Guy Fawkes was brought to the king. Over the next few days, he would be tortured and broken. A boatload happened on November the 6th. In 1391, Edmund de Mortimer, 5th Earl of March, was born. He was the heir presumptive to Richard II, and thus was an enemy of Henry IV. The plot of Hotspur and the Percys to bring him to the throne was depicted in Henry IV Part 1, and his Southampton plot was depicted in Henry V. In 1429, on the same date, Henry VI was coronated at the age of 8, even though his father Henry V had died when his son was only 9 months old. And finally, on that same date, November the 6th, in 1558, Thomas Kyd, a dramatist contemporary of Shakespeare's, was born. Kyd was the playwright of The Spanish Tragedy, which was an influence on Hamlet. On November the 7th, 1422, Henry V was buried at Westminster Abbey a little more than 2 months after his death by dysentery, while on his third military campaign in France. On November 8th, 1989, the soundtrack album from Kenneth Branagh's film version of Henry V was released in the U.S. The film marked the beginning of a long-running creative relationship between Branagh and the soundtrack's composer, Patrick Doyle. On November 9, 1389, Isabella of Valois was born. She had been the second wife of Richard II, wed to him in a political marriage when she was 9 years old and he was 29. Richard had been widowed 4 years earlier. When Richard died in prison, Henry IV ordered her, then a whopping 11 years of age, to marry his son, the soon-to-be Henry V. Isabella refused, but her younger sister Catherine ended up as Henry's bride, as depicted in Henry V. Isabella, on the other hand, wed her cousin Charles of Orléans 6 years after Richard's death. She died in childbirth 3 years after that marriage, at the grand old age of 19. And on November the 10th, 1925, Richard Burton was born. Burton was one of the greatest Shakespearean actors of his generation, and he was known for playing Hamlet in the longest run of the play on Broadway in 1964. He was married to Elizabeth Taylor twice, and 3 other women as well, and with Taylor he starred in a film version of The Taming of the Shrew in 1967. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. Listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending November the 10th, 2014. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.